And so I'm going to go with the scripture that the Lord gave me, and we'll just have to see where it goes. In the book of Luke, in the 12th chapter, in the 32nd verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples. There has been a great number of them, and they've expressed concern about the worldly affairs that they have, about the things that they possess, and watching out for those things. Jesus told the parable of the rich man who looked at all that he had and determined that his barns weren't big enough, and so he purposed to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And Jesus had told, of course, in that parable that thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be? And so he tried to encourage his disciples to not take thought of the worldly things. He said, our Father in heaven knows those things. He knows what we need. He's aware of what's necessary for us to live in this environment in which that he's put us in. And so after telling them all of that, he tells them in the 31st verse of the 12th chapter, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Do you know that in the course of studying this, I found out that the command from God that's used most often throughout the whole scripture is that command right there. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so I thought about that flock, and I thought about what that it signified. And certainly Jesus uses a lot of different metaphors all the way through the scriptures. And we find the same references in the Old Testament. And of course, Israel, like most of the nations, were a shepherding nation. And so they were familiar with all of the terminology and all of those things that are used. And Jesus used this term quite often to refer to his disciples, to those who were his followers. In this instance, he referred to them as a little flock. And first of all, I think we need to recognize that the word flock means a number gathered together, whatever that number might be. In one parable, Jesus told about a man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one out of his flock, and he went after that sheep. And so Jesus uses that. And so the first thing that we need to remember about a flock is that it's made up out of individual sheep. And so Jesus, in using that term, certainly indicates that of all those that are his, each and every one of them is an individual and of equal importance to him, just like the parable that he told about the man who lost the one sheep. And so, again, I understand from trying to study a little bit and understand a little bit about the culture and the way that that things work, is that regardless of the size of the flock, that the shepherd, or it might be an under-shepherd, if it was someone who had a large holdings and had huge flocks, or had a huge flock, he may have under-shepherds who had different segments of those flocks. But in each case, the shepherd would know those sheep by name. And my understanding is that those who have gone over and seen that as they raise them up from little lambs, and they give each one of them a name, and they learn their names, and they can literally call them by name, and those sheep will recognize their name. And that's what Jesus tells us in another passage, which we'll get to here in just a moment. But it's not some number of sheep that have no personality, who have no importance, but each sheep within that flock is of such importance that the shepherd knows them by name and calls them by name and has an equal love for every one of them. And those shepherds, they certainly had to watch many times as their sheep would struggle with perhaps getting lost or wandering away, or I'm sure that some were taken by wolves. And those were hard things for the shepherd to deal with. But it is important for us to understand that that Jesus is telling his disciples that you are valuable. You are valuable to me, and you're valuable to my Father, because it is his intent to give you the kingdom. And all the way through the scriptures, we're in the book of Luke, but whether you go to Matthew, Mark, or earlier parts of Luke, Jesus preaches and talks about the kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here what God has been promising all the way through the Old Testament, what our Father, what your Father has promised. It is his intent to give it to you, little flock. Little. A little flock in comparison to all the great numbers of others. And so certainly the flock of Jesus Christ, those that are his sheep, have always been small in number. As I attended that funeral last weekend, and there was that little church gathered there, and the Lord has blessed them, but they've never been large. They've always been small. Even when Nicole was growing up and we started that work, we were always small. And when God called Brother Ivan to under-shepherd that flock was important enough to him that he called a man into the ministry and gave him an assignment. Your assignment, Ivan, is to under-shepherd this little flock, because though they're small in the size of all the world and all the other things that are going on, they may seem insignificant to the rest of the world, but they are important to me, and my Father's intention is for them to enjoy and to experience the very things of the kingdom that he promised that he would provide. And so Ivan was faithful to that. He started working with that little flock in 1991 when the Lord first began to call him to preach. And so he was faithful to that flock until the day that he died. If God had needed him somewhere else, I'm sure he would have taken him there. But Ivan never backed away, nor gave up, nor failed to tenderly love every sheep that was in that flock. I've seen him go to many funerals and preach many funerals of those little lambs that he was called to preach, to feed, and to protect as much as he could, and to teach them the things of God. And I only use that as a reference because that's what came to my mind as I was there. It made me think of this little flock right here that I feel so privileged to be able to under shepherd this little flock. And my prayer is that I will love you as much as I know the Lord loves you, and that I will not be discouraged, and that we will not be discouraged by all of the other flocks out in the world that might have great number, but that we are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are important to him just as all of the others that are in his flock are. And so that's an important thing for us to understand. And even if you look today, in the vast number of the world and all the religious systems that are out there and all of the religions that are there, Christianity is the small one. And even within the broad scope of Christianity, folks, I'm here to tell you that even among all of those who name the name of Christ, I fear that there are many who name that name who do not know him, but those that are his, he knows them, and he will call them out. I'm going to go to that passage in just a moment. He knows how to do that. And so his flock is large in our eyes in some ways, but in comparison to all who have lived and died, the flock of Jesus Christ is a small flock. Jesus said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto righteousness, and few it be that find it. He never once said that it was going to be the largest undertaking in the world, but he said that his flock would have his love, and that he would give his life for the sheep, and that he would protect them and keep them and guide them and be with them. And he means that for every little flock just like us, no matter where they are today. And folks, we've got a lot of them. That little church that we just talked about in Cape Coast, Brother Ken and I were there, and they're a little flock. They're smaller than we are, but I can tell you what, that God loves them just as much as He loves us. And it's the Father's goodwill and good intentions to give them the kingdom. The kingdom is that those things which they enjoy that are provided by the hand of God. Peace, tranquility, and spiritual growth, and fellowship with God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. His intent is to give that to them just as it is to give that those same things to us. I've got to move on. Now, that's about the flock. But now I want to bring up another scripture, and I want to talk about the fold for the flock. And over in the book of John, in the 10th chapter, that 10th chapter, the beginning of it, is the one that I'm certainly we're all familiar with, where Jesus uses the comparison to a sheep and to a sheepfold. And he talks about himself being the shepherd. And in the beginning, he says that the good shepherd knows his sheep. He says that the porter, the one who's in charge of the gate, opens only to the good shepherd, and anyone else who tries to come in is a thief and a robber. And so he talks about that, and then he talks about his sheep, and he says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and they will follow my voice, and I can just picture it. Understanding a little bit of how that works is that there could be a sheepfold out there that may house many different flocks. But the shepherd, who knew every one of his sheep by name, could walk through there and call the names of his sheep, and one by one, they would leave those other flocks that belonged to someone else, and they would leave those flocks, and they would follow him out into the green pastures that he prepared for them. And they followed him wherever that he went, and that's what he said. He said that my sheep know me, and I know them, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. And down in the 16th verse of the 10th chapter, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Now, if you looked in the King James Version, you notice that I read the wrong word. I said there shall be one flock, but the King James Version says there shall be one fold. But that's a mistranslation. It is not the same word. The word that's used, that they use for fold here in the 16th verse, the first one is correct. And what that is it is an enclosure that is designed to protect the sheep. The sheep, the flock, are brought and put into the confines of the enclosure that the shepherd might keep them safe. And so his intent here is to say that I have other sheep that are not of this fold and this enclosure, but they hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And my intent is not that they'll be in one fold, but that they will be one flock. And I looked this up in 12 different translations. I looked in 12 different translations. And every other translation translates that second word as flock. It's the same word that I read over in Luke. And so that gives us a different picture. It gives us a different idea of what Jesus is trying to say. He's saying to those that were gathered there before him, his disciples, I have other sheep that you don't know about. And they hear my voice just like you do. And my intent is that they shall all be one flock. They shall all be owned by me, but they shall be in various folds. And so that was his intent. And so every other translation translated this as, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this enclosure, fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." That's the literal translation. Why King James translated it as fold, I can tell you. But I don't want to get into all that. But that gives a wrong picture. Because Jesus' intent was always to have one flock. Those who hear his voice, those who know him, those whom he has called out from the flock of this world. But he was never intended to put them in one fold, one place, until heaven, and that's when we shall all be gathered together in one place. But here on earth, And in this environment, his intent has always been to have sheepfolds all over and his flock to gather into the sheepfold that they might enjoy the protection from the world and the environment in which they live. But and so it's important to us to understand that our little flock, that he has given us a fold, which we call Sulphur Fork Missionary Baptist Church, in which that we can enjoy the things of the kingdom together as his sheep gathered together in this fold. And as a sheep that belongs to the Lord, I can go to another fold. I can go over to Africa. I can go up to West Virginia. I can go down to West End. I can go to other folds and I can enjoy the same fellowship because I'm the same kind of sheep they are. I belong to the same master, but I'm not in the same fold. I'm not in the same gathering. And so it was always the Lord's intent to have folds all over in which that the sheep could gather in small numbers, and that's why he made them such that they might be able to gather together and enjoy those things. What does a fold do? A fold was an enclosure. And the purpose of a fold was, first of all, to separate his sheep from the world. To separate his sheep from the world. And so when we come into the fold of Sulphur Fork Church, we are separated from the world. We are identified as those belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. His intent is for his sheep to be in a fold. That's the purpose of this message this morning, for us to understand that it's not Christ's purpose for his sheep to wander around out in the world, belonging nowhere and having no fold in which that they can enjoy his protection, and where that they can enjoy the united effort of being together. You see, sheep like to be together. They like to huddle together. They are social animals. And so the Lord's intent was that like sheep, should gather together. And so I hear many people say, well, I've been saved, but I've never joined a church anywhere. I don't attend anywhere. I don't believe that. Well, they might do it, but it's not right. That's not what the Lord intended. The Lord intended for every one of his sheep to be in a fold where that they can enjoy the company of other sheep, where that he can protect them from the world, where that he can unite them together, and where that he can feed them in that fold. And so that's the importance of the local church. That's the importance of that. And so that was the Lord's intent. But you see, when the King James Version translated fold wrong, incorrectly, it gave a wrong idea. And you'd have to understand that, you see, they believed that there was only one church. And that church was the church that everybody belonged to. But that's impossible for it to meet the definition and to fulfill the objective that the Lord had for his sheep as they gather together in a fold. I'm about out of time. My 20 minutes is almost up. So I got to take you to one other verse that you might understand this. Because it is the Lord's intent that those that he saves, that they unite with his church in a location, and that there they gather together. And so he did that in the metaphor of the sheep and the fold, and showed that particular. And that passage always troubled me. It always troubled me because I do not believe in a universal invisible church. I don't believe in that. I believe that the concept that Jesus had and that what he instituted was that of a local church, that's where that his sheep were to unite. But that passage always troubled me because it seemed like that it supported a universal invisible church. But then as I got to study and I got to finding out, well, the reason it didn't seem right to me was because it wasn't right. Because it had been translated wrong and it skewed the idea of what Jesus was trying to bring out. And I know that for a fact because other words that he used. Let me read you over in Matthew 16th chapter and the 18th verse, and I'm sure that we're all familiar with this. But let me read this. I've got to get the right chapter. In 16th chapter, In the 18th verse, Jesus said, "And I say unto thee," he's talking to Peter and his disciples, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so Jesus had gathered out his sheep, and he had before him his 12 disciples and those who were following him, and he gave the principle upon which that his sheep would be united together. And the principle was that they knew him and he knew them, and that there was a personal experience between them. And folks, that's what we preach. That's what we preach as Missionary Baptists, is that you must first have an experience and know the Lord, and He knows you, and that you belong to Him, and then He gathers you into His fold. Only in this case, He uses the term church instead of fold, and He does that for a reason. And the reason that He does that is because the word He uses, again, is a bad translation in the King James, because the word that He uses is ekklesia. It's used 115 times in the New Testament. Ekklesia, ekklesia, ekklesia. And every time the King James translated it as church. They had a reason for doing that, but it gives you the wrong idea. Because in order to understand what Jesus was trying to do, you have to understand what an ekklesia was. And what its purpose was and what it did. An ekklesia was a called out assembly from among the people. They were a called out assembly, and they had certain power. They were self-governing, and they were given the ability to execute the laws of the land and to adjudicate any differences or breaking and breachings of that law. And so Jesus used that word specifically for a reason, that we might understand that the power He had, which He said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and all of those who are mine will hear the gospel, and they will respond, and then baptize those that respond and that are saved, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so He used the word ekklesia that we might understand that there is a government involved in this. There is a laws that need to be enforced. There is adjudication that needs to be done. Now, the Greek city-states, they were somewhat what we might call democracies. They had an ekklesia. And what they would do is, when it came time to conduct business, they called out from among all the population that might live there, they called out the citizens of every city-state, and they were a democracy in that together they would meet together at designated times, and they would transact the business of the kingdom as it applied to that city. And so Jesus said, "That's what I'm doing. I'm going to make city-states. I'm going to make little called out assemblies, and each one of them is going to be given the power and given the authority to execute my laws and to adjudicate when my laws are broken." That can only be carried out within a small group of people, with a designated group of people like Sulphur Fork. We just did that this morning. This little business meeting that we transacted, I called, there are some here that are not members of the church, but I called the church to order, and so you have the responsibility to make decisions. You have the responsibility to execute the laws of the kingdom and to adjudicate any differences. That's why that when we have a church member or members who are living not in accordance with the moral laws of Christ's kingdom, guess where the responsibility lies to adjudicate that? It lies with the church. And so the principle that Jesus was trying to establish all the way through was that in this world He has many sheep. That His sheep will be gathered together in folds, and those folds are designed for our protection, for our edification, for our separation from the world. And then He, using the metaphor of an ecclesia, He said, "And those little gatherings, I am giving them the power to execute my laws. And what are his laws? He said, no other commandment I give you except that you love one another, that you preach the gospel. And so our command, our commission is to preach the gospel. And so we meet together to do that. We meet together to worship on the Lord's Day. We meet together under his authority. You see, those little groups of people, and I'm just about done. I know my 20 minutes is up. Those little groups of people, they did not have the power to legislate. We have a legislature. Our government is divided into three different branches: legislative, executive, and judicial. The legislature makes the laws. The executive branch executes those laws, and the judicial branch judges when those laws have been broken and enacts appropriate punishments or whatever might need to be. And so he commissioned his church that they might execute his laws, and that they might adjudicate among themselves whenever that those things have been broken. But he did not give his church the authority to make laws. Only he makes laws. And so we serve in a theocratic democracy. We serve in a theocratic democracy. The theocracy is that the head of this entire government is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are democratic in that he has empowered us to execute his laws and to adjudicate things where the laws are broken. That's why the Apostle Paul, in the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, when they had a member who was breaking the moral laws and even doing things that others out in the world who were not of the Lord's sheep that they wouldn't even do, it was so immoral, that Paul put upon them the responsibility. He said, when you met together in the Lord's Spirit and my Spirit present with you, that you review this matter and that you separate yourself from that one who is breaking these moral covenants. And so they had the responsibility to make that judgment and to execute judgment upon that individual. That's a grave responsibility, folks. And it's not given to some ivory tower somewhere that calls themselves the Pope or the Council or whatever. It's not given to them. There is no such thing that exists. The only thing that the Lord ever laid out in the New Testament is that we were to be an ecclesia, a called out assembly, authorized by him to carry out the work of the kingdom. That's why this is so important. Regardless of how small that we are, regardless of how few in number that we are, we have full power, we have full authority, we have full responsibility. Our children need to know that. Because the rest of the world is telling them that it doesn't matter where you belong, it doesn't matter what church you go to. What they do is they start these big mega churches, and guess who's in charge of them? The preacher's in charge of them. That's his flock. And he makes the laws, and they got councils that set and make the rules. And you think that I'm making this up? Part of a conversation that I had just last week with a man who was attending a large Baptist church in Pleasance County that we came from. And they were doing exactly that. As a matter of fact, they had already decided, well, I don't even know why we call ourselves Baptist, because that we welcome everybody in. We don't enforce any rules and regulations of the Lord. They pretty much do whatever they want to, make their own rules. And so it is with so many of these in the world. But that's not the Lord's church. That's not the Lord's flock. That's not the ones that the Lord is with. And so nowhere does it tell us that this flock or this fold has to increase hugely in numbers. Because whatever that this fold might remain as different sheep come in and go out and pass away and others come in, we are still authorized. We are still empowered to be the Lord's church at Sulphur Fork. And it's important for you, each one of you, if you belong to the Lord and the Lord has saved you, that you belong somewhere where you can carry out the commission that he has for his church and his ideal for you as one of his sheep. That's way longer than I intended to be. 29 minutes. That's about the best I can do. That's my message. Think about this. This is an important thing. It's important for our children to understand. It's important to teach these things so that as our children grow up, they understand what their responsibilities will be, that they take our place. That there be a fold right here, that there be an ecclesia right here until the Lord decides to take it away. We don't want to lose them to the other sheep and folds of the world, because there are many out there. There are many where that people are claiming to be the shepherd, but many of them lie and they deceive and they want the sheep for themselves. And all they care about is numbers. All they care about is money. All they care about is the business part of it. But I tell you what, we can be poor. We can not have a building. All of these things can pass away. But if we meet outside in the middle of the yard, we can still be the Lord's fold right here.
Amen.
It's over for. Do we have a song? I'm done. I'll quit. Think about these things. They're important. If they weren't important, the Lord would lay them on our heart to preach about them.